The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. The two disciples recounted what had taken place on the way and how Jesus was made known to them in the breaking of the bread. And while they were still speaking about this, he stood in their midst and he said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and terrified and thought they were seeing a ghost. And then he said to them again, "Why are you troubled? Why do you question in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet, and know that it is I. Touch me and see, because a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you can see I have." And as he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While they were still incredulous for joy and were amazed, he asked them, "Have you anything here to eat?" And they gave him a piece of baked fish, and he took it, and he ate it in front of them. And he went on to say, "These are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and in the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." And then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins would be preached in his name, preached to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things." The Gospel of the Lord. This gospel reading comes from the very end of the book of Luke. And as you know, when Luke finished what we call the text of the gospel in 24 chapters, Luke kept writing, and he wrote what we call the Acts of the Apostles. And in its origin, it was all one book. And we have an artificial division, whereas we finish the gospel, what we call the gospel, after 24 chapters, and then a separate book is the Acts of the Apostles, a narrative of the early church up to about the year 65, when Paul was imprisoned in Rome. The setting for this gospel text, which we have today, comes immediately after that enchanting story of two disciples walking away from Jerusalem. They're walking west, it says, into the sunset. And they're talking among themselves and how disillusioned they are and how disappointed they are. And Jesus walks with them, you will remember, and then he has a meal with them and they recognize him in the breaking of the bread. And then they say, "It was the Lord," and then they return to Jerusalem. And now they join the upper room, these disciples, and we have the text of today's gospel. It's important to keep in mind that biblically, Jerusalem is your place of destiny. And therefore, these two disciples were running away from their place of destiny. The place where you suffer, you die, and you're reborn into new life. That's the place of destiny. Biblically, it's your Jerusalem. Keep that in mind now, because those who stayed in Jerusalem are behind locked doors. And thus begins today's gospel. It happens on the first day of the week, which, as you know, is our Sunday. The Jews celebrated the Sabbath on Saturday, and all the Jews who were the first followers of Jesus, after sundown on Saturday, they were free to travel, and then they traveled and they gathered for the Eucharist, which happened therefore the next day on Sunday, beginning sundown on Saturday night. Thus we have our Sabbath on Sunday. They are behind locked doors. They're full of fear. They are disillusioned. Their dreams have been shattered. All their hopes and expectations are gone. The one they expected to triumph died in crucifixion, an ignominious death at that time. And therefore, they're incredulous. They have no faith. They're like a church that celebrates the Eucharist but have no faith in the resurrection. They haven't experienced the resurrection. They don't have the life, the new life given to them in the resurrection. And therefore, they're without hope. They're suspicious. And one moment of disillusionment, one suspicion, one doubt leads to another. Once they begin to doubt one thing, then they begin to move to the next doubt, and then they're suspicious about something else. And the whole sense of community of faith unravels. They are lost. They're lost. Even though they're celebrating the Eucharist, they're a community in the upper room, but they're behind closed doors, full of fear, anxiety, and disillusionment. They are a lost church. And Jesus comes to them, and he reveals to them his wounds. He shows them that he has risen from the dead. He has come from death to life. The convincing sign, his wounds. He shows them his hands and his feet. And he asks them to look in a new way with the eyes of faith, to look at the cross in a new way, to see in the emptiness and the poverty and the weakness and the helplessness of life the moment of grace, the call to resurrection and to new life. He teaches them that the seed must fall into the earth and die. Otherwise, it will remain just a seed. But if it dies, then it produces much fruit. Therefore, he teaches them not just how to live. He teaches them how to die. And that's the teaching of today's gospel. It's a teaching we need in our church. You'll find it in your families. Things are out of control. Your expectations are unmet. All your hopes and your dreams are diminished. Things are beyond your control, and you stand in a shadow, or even maybe in a place of darkness, and you wonder what life is all about. You have learned how to live, but you haven't learned how to die. And Jesus coming among them with his wounds, he will teach them how to die. How to look at life with the eyes of faith. And therefore, in the most difficult, challenging times in life, to interpret the moment through the eyes of faith. In my own life, I have been striving how to succeed, how to win, how to influence people, how to be successful. And then the gospel says, but I must teach you how to die. I must teach you how to understand failure. I must teach you how to understand a moment of doubt as an invitation to faith. Our culture doesn't teach us about the cross. It teaches us only how to win. And when we fail, there is no redeeming value in failure. And Jesus says, take a second look. Take a second look at your life. Did you not know that the Messiah had to suffer and he had to die in order to rise to new life? Now, this is a month dedicated to the protection of children in child abuse situations. Look back over our church. Because we didn't learn how to die and how to suffer, we only learned how to cover up, how to deny, how to divert. And Jesus says, before you can live, you must learn how to die. And dying is part of discipleship, following Jesus Christ. Now, we have some powerful teachings about those who have learned to die in order to inspire, in order to give new life. I was traveling this week, so I had ample time to read. And there's a very good new book, Chaos in Creation by Elizabeth Johnson, that I read that book this week. And she mentions Jean Donovan in the book. Most of us won't remember Jean Donovan. She was a lay missionary from Cleveland, and her mission was in El Salvador. And in 1980, she was murdered. She was raped, tortured, and murdered, and three nuns with her, by the death squads in the civil war in El Salvador while she served the poor. Just days before she died, she wrote this. The Peace Corps left today and my heart sank low. The danger is extreme and they were right to leave. Now I must assess my own position because I am not up for suicide. Several times I have decided to leave El Salvador. I almost could, except for the children, the poor, the bruised victims of this insanity. Who would care for them? Whose heart could be so staunch as to favor the reasonable thing in a sea of their tears and their loneliness? Not mine, dear friend, not mine. She was murdered a week later. She learned how to die, and therefore she knew how to live in freedom, to live in sacrifice, to see in the cross a sign of life. 50 years ago, Martin Luther King went to Memphis. He knew it was dangerous. He was driven by a passion for social justice, a passion for dignity and equality for African American people, a passion to teach us about justice and honor and dignity. And he wrote this, "We've got some difficult days ahead, but it really doesn't matter for me now because I have been to the mountaintop and I don't mind. Like anybody, I would like to live a long life. Longevity has its place, but I am not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will. And he has allowed me to go to the mountain and I have looked over it. And I have seen the promised land. I may not get there with you, But I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land. And I am happy tonight. I am not worried about anything. I'm not fearing any man. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. And the next day he was shot to death. But he knew. He knew how to live. He knew the meaning of a gospel. And he knew that because he knew how to die. Now, this will happen to every one of us. Maybe happened in your family, in your social life, in your work, in the ordinary commerce of life. You will have to learn how to surrender to Jesus Christ, how to let something go, how to understand that you can't control everything. You will learn that Jerusalem is your destiny. And your destiny is a place of dying so that you will rise to new life. It's a teaching for each one of us. It's a teaching for me. It's a teaching for the church. And we are the church. Amen.